and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 341. How are we all doing? Oh, I've not opened the chat. So it's excitement time. Did Jonathan make it? Did Jonathan manage to get in first? Let me have a look. Do a quick refresh. Why is all my backups taking longer than they should? Go away. Yay! Jonathan, looks like you were first. You can say with absolute certainty Elaine will win tonight in After Hours. It's been a day and a half at work. Oh, Jonathan, no. What happened? Is it the developers or the clients? Because you are the meat in the sandwich between the two of them. Hello, Tony. Hello, Anthony. Wow, it's busy tonight. Hello, Renee. I think I've got you in your PowerPoint. I'm just about to upload two images so you can have a look and see if that's what you mean. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Hello, Simon. Oh, I really need to listen to that music, don't I? I've got it all there, linked to, ready to listen to. But the Malamutes took over. If you clicked on the link from Kim last night, read the Malamutes, it was loud. So, Mayor would have heard a pin drop from 3 miles away if he was interested. If it was a command, no. It's called selective samoid deafness. Anyway, we waited until she'd kind of sat down and was, she had her back to the screen. I ramped the volume up and pressed play. There were these Malamutes howling their lungs out. Lola, not interested in the slightest, did not turn a hair. She's insane. Maya would have gone absolutely mad. He'd have had the house upside down. And she's just laying there like a princess with, you're not fooling me. It's not real. Oh, she's amazing. Ooh, Tony's been listening to the Devon Think series all day. You didn't make it to the end of any of them. Yes, but it's all right, Tony. Jonathan is our morning man. He catches up and mans the barricades in the morning. When I am not asleep. No, I'm not there. I am not awake. Not awake at all. Comes into his own, does Jonathan, in the mornings. Anthony guesses it's the same as selective Westie deafness. I think they are very closely related. It is a joke with the Sammies, honestly. You could let a cannon off and they ignore you. But open a fridge door and they will hear you. That's the magic white box. It opens and nice things come out of it. So, I mean, Ollie's as bad. Ollie is a little jackapoo that we sometimes look after, but obviously not for a while now. When was the last time we looked after Ollie? Getting on for 18 months ago. It was when Lola first arrived. It was Lola's first week. And it was, oh, they'll be fine together. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's just say it's a good job he had no batteries, because she has batteries. The other thing was, she has had puppies. Her puppies will be two by now. Wow, they'll be in the terrible twos. Ollie, no, not practiced in that area, which could explain why he mounted her from the side. But she was less than impressed. She took a flying leap from the sofa, clean over a chair to land on Mike's lap, and he was sat at the desk at the table downstairs. And protect me, Daddy. What are you doing down there? I can't see you behind me. That's why you can get away with murder behind me. It's a consistent thing. Oh, Tony. Yes, at the end of each show, you'll probably have noticed, we do it, is Jonathan awake? And then we do the scoreboard thing. I won last year. Obviously, only just. Saving your blushes, Jonathan. Hello, Sarah. Anyway, let me get these images. Fans are going mad on my computer at the moment. All I was trying to do was save a file. You know, clearly, that wasn't the best idea ever. Right, I'll put two images. I'll grab them here. There's the before image. Where's the after image? I think I had another after image. There we go. Right. So this, I'll put them in Slack. This is a question for Renee. Is this what you mean? So I've put, do you mean like this? Like going from pick one to pick two. Right. I'm not talking about any animation. What I'm talking about is the original image looks like image one. Let's drag and drop that one up. And once I've done the gradient magic, it looks like image two. That's what I mean. So I'll let it upload those images and then I'll press the button. Go on, you can do it. You can do it. Fans have stopped. Everything's fine. There we go. Is that what you mean? Where you've got a static image, but you've done something to it. So half of the image is transparent. Is that what you're after? Paul's predicting a late season comeback for Johnny. Well, did you know it could happen? It could happen. Hello, Alex. You see, Jonathan has had a busy week, hasn't he? And he's had his jab as well. This could turn you into an overnight superpower, this. It could keep you up all night, Jonathan. And then points would be won. You never know. You never, never, never know. It could happen. Hello, Paul. Anyway, who's heard the... Now, this is a rumour. This is a rumour. It's not genuine, not yet. But... it is rumoured, Apple event, brace yourself, 16th of March. Mike, yeah, I've seen him happier. This is because he's got a webinar that night. But it would only coincide with the bit before. So it wouldn't actually, it would only be the Matt Byers Live that he missed. So it might not be as catastrophic as we think. But what do we think of the 16th of March for an event? The rumoured toy is the iPad Pro. I mean, this is not... they're not putting themselves out on much of a limb, are they? The iPad Pro was released around the 16th of March last year. But... well, first off, let me think. What do you think of the 16th of March for an Apple event? Do you think it's possible? Probable? Will it happen? And do you have any other things to think about in terms of the 16th of March or the week after the 23rd of March? When would you prefer it? Obviously, further off you push it, the more time the money's in your account rather than theirs. But let me know what you think. I have thoughts on this. Great big thoughts. But I'm going to see what you guys have got to say first. If there's a Mac Mini update, you might be tempted. Does Mrs. Simon know Simon? Won't hear it from us. If there's a Mac Mini update, I think it's a little bit quick for a Mac Mini update. I think WWDC there might be. But if there was, I might be tempted too. So there you go. Ooh, sacrilege. Sacrilege. Jonathan would rather just announce it with a press release. The awful cast of thousands. Yeah, but when we have a cast of thousands, Jonathan, we have a meetup, don't we? Of a special Mac Bites Live. So we're there all night and it's fantastic. You know, and we can always sit there with who's he? I've never seen her before. I wish they would stop the cast of thousands, I grant you. I watched, there was a video, you know, like you watch one video. I watched that Apple Park video. Who saw that? And then it said, you might want to watch this. And it was a very old Steve Jobs presentation. He wipes the floor with them. The ones now are shockingly bad. I wish they'd go back to just doing them like that, but who knows? Ah, now, Jonathan, you're on the right path here. Mrs. Simon's got her headphones on, pretending to ignore everything apart from a stupid new game. So she's not listening to the show. Fair enough. A later date for Alex, then nearer to your birthday and any excuse. Excellent. And Renee would like to see a 16-inch M1 MacBook Pro. Feels a little bit early for that, but you don't know. They might do. You never know. But what none of you have picked up on here is an Apple event, potentially, on the 16th of March. How dare they? How dare they even contemplate it? The 16th of March is our 1 year anniversary. It's our birthday. It'll be 365 days since we started marooned. How dare they? They'll have to move it to the day after. It's the only answer. Yes, the 16th of March. Now, I appreciate that wasn't our national lockdown. Our national lockdown was a week later. It was the 23rd. But how dare they? Jonathan, we are 20 odd days away from a year. And from what Boris is now saying, he's got his lovely tagline, says Boris. We're looking at the data, not dates. It's looking like July, isn't it? But they can't piddle on our parade that day, can they? By bringing out one of their half-ready cast of thousands, oh dear, was this not what you wanted events. No, not on our birthday. No, no, no. We might have to do a total marathon that day. Oh, we could go from lunch, couldn't we? Anyway, it's only a rumour at the moment, but there you go. Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself? Well, yes, time has gone really quickly, though. I mean, I know... I get to like... Well, because we do by request on a Saturday night, Sundays become like I could really do with a rest. You know, because we broadcast for 6 hours on a Saturday. And that comes after, by request, after hours on a Friday. And then you've got to get ready for after hours. Can't just rock up with, well, what should we talk about? You know, you've got to have something ready. So Monday, Tuesday and half of Wednesday are quite relaxed. And then after that, I've got to do everything that I normally have to do with a load more stuff thrown in. So it does seem to, you know, before I know it, Sunday's gone, Monday's gone, Tuesday's gone, and we're back to Wednesday again. And as soon as I get to Wednesday, it's like, yep, now you're going to be ready for Friday. And that's how it's gone for a year. A year. It's mind-blowing. Think of it as a celebration of our anniversary. It's good of Apple to think about it. Do you know what actually happened? This is comical. I can't remember which one. But it must have been... after 2011. So it would have been 2012, 2013 or 2014. But we had, as soon as, when they announced the iPhone 4S, Steve Jobs wasn't well, if you remember. And between the announcement and releasing it, he died. And I'd already said to Mike, I'd really like one of these phones. But Mike said, I'm not bothered. It looks exactly the same as the other one. And the big feature, which was Siri, he wasn't bothered about. I was. So we agreed that we would get this phone. But only one of them. Only one of the Siri phones. So we got it. And I'm like playing around with it. And yet you could make it do things. Hello, Kim. But... I was more interested in getting it to respond in a certain way. Well, back then, there was no cheaty workaround e-hacks. It was tough to get Siri to say back to you what you wanted it to hear. So if you can imagine a Siri sketch at the end of a show, just imagine trying to say to Siri, can you just read that out? Thanks. It didn't work. But I persevered with it. I did. And I got Siri saying, quite a long, you hope my series listening to this. Oh, no, relaxing, resting, hard day, which you'll see tonight. Yeah, it was a hard day. But it got to the point where Siri just said odd things in the middle of the show. So it was basically a line on its own. So I'd say something and then Siri would make some kind of cheeky comment. That was it. And then it got to like a line at the end. And then I cracked it. And I could get Siri to say anything I liked with any intonation that I liked. So we started putting the Siri sketches together. So we'd been doing that for at least a year, 2 years. And there was this WWDC event and it opened up with two iPhones talking to each other. And Mike went, the dirty ripoff merch. But of course, it was the American Siri at the time. I'm not sure. I don't think we had Lady Siri at that point. We might just have got Lady Siri involved at that point. But yeah, they copied us then as well. They copied us. It was like a Siri sketch, but it just wasn't as funny. They did. So we'll have to see what they come up with this year. I guess it wouldn't be a bad idea. Would it? It's a bit of a party, isn't it, if there's an Apple event on the day. The trouble is they've been disappointing us such a lot lately. The events are like choreographed to within an inch of their life. You know what you're not going to get. There's going to be no mention of a watch, a phone, any Mac OS update. So you can pretty much, you know, there may be an iPad Pro. Jonathan and I took the decision last year not to buy, didn't we, Jonathan? We both felt it was a bit icky. Bet we didn't expect a year on when we were glibly saying to ourselves, I'll leave it and I'll buy it next year, that we'd still be in lockdown. Does it feel as icky? Or could you be persuaded to part with cash this time, Jonathan? Are we having nibbles? We do always have nibbles. We do have suggested nibbles that people do like. There's a lady who follows us on Twitter called Nickintosh. And she likes hummus. But it is tradition, if you like them, to have Jaffa cakes. We do like Jaffa cakes. I like a few nuts, so we'll have some nuts in. And then it's anything you like. Anything you like, but it is very much tradition. Oh, Renee got followed on Twitter by Susan Bennett, the original voice of Siri. She actually follows MacBites. Which is comical, because they retweet MacBites Siri. I think she's the voice, isn't she, of Lady Siri? I think so. Oh, Kim, Jonathan's already said it's not looking good today. It's not looking good today, apparently. I will let Jonathan fill you in. Lockdown is the new normal. You're quite right, actually. If they said, right, you know, you can go out, you'd be like, can I? Really? Oh. And you wouldn't know what to do. They seem to have that spontaneity. No, they don't seem to have that spontaneity that Steve Jobs events used to have. The thing was, Anthony, he was so well prepared. He could handle an issue on the day, you know, like no Wi-Fi or something. But he was incredibly well prepared. He would practice and practice and practice for like 4 days at the venue. And if you've ever seen his presentation notes, they're amazing. Obviously, he was using Keynote. Let me see if I can get... He had like pictures in the notes, which is interesting because you can't actually do that in Keynote. So it was like a little booklet. Let's see if I can find the picture. Steve Jobs presentation notes. I think it was when he was doing iWork. No, we don't want a video. We want images. Somebody caught them. There they are, first one. It's a bit tricky to see it. You know, it's quite a small image. But it's worth zooming in on. And you don't want to upload. You are a swine. Repeat after me. You are a swine. Ah, excellent. There you go. That's what his presentation notes look like.
Is Johnny still there?
He's here at the moment because it's Friday.
Johnny, I'm thirsting after hours. But I haven't typed in the chat. So
you've got 2 seconds.
I'm leaving it open for you, boy.
That's so good of you. That is so good. Yes, if you look at that image, if you zoom into it, you can see they are, the notes themselves are like spiral bound. They've got big icons next to them, so he knows exactly what he's looking at on the phone. And you can see there's phones next to him. He's got more than one phone. And then each bit that he does is numbered. Now, I guess if you're sat the way I do online, you don't need them that big. Do mine look like that? No, probably not. But I think for a real life presentation, they are amazing.
Oh, Johnny sent me a heart in YouTube.
Oh, guys, get a room.
Oh, bromance.
Bromance. The other thing you can see from those notes is on the left hand side of them. He's obviously doing 4 demonstrations and he's actually got plastic tabs as well. But they are the kind of notes you would need if you were doing it live in the way he was. Funny story. We were asked to do a presentation to the Catinian Luncheon Club about Mike's conversion. Hence the presentation being called From Bagels to Bacon Butties. And that's probably the presentation we've put most effort into, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was, I'm air quotes here, it was a real presentation.
Together, you mean?
No, I mean it wasn't a technical presentation.
No.
You instinctively know what needs to go in a technical presentation. But...
Yeah, pictures of databases and things.
Yeah, and diagrams.
Yeah.
Concept diagrams. But when it's something like that, and there was a heck of a roller coaster story to it as well. So in terms of the story arc, that was there. But we needed some humour in it, and we needed all sorts in it. Right? There was humour, there was pathos, there you go. And it took us quite a while. The other thing was we rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed for the timing. And I said, you can add 2 minutes on. So if we rehearsed, we had a maximum of sort of 20 to 25 minutes. And all the other speakers, I mean, we've had speakers drone on for an hour, and honestly, Chidgey's there with a shepherd's hook, trying to get them off and trying to interrupt them. But he said, you know, I'm going to relax with you two. You know what you're doing. And we did have a clock there. We knew exactly what we were doing. But when we were rehearsing, I said to Mike, you're going to have to add 2 minutes on. Mike said, why? 2 minutes is a lot. And I said, because there'll be laughter and there'll be applause and there'll be you need to pause for that. So we rehearsed the life out of it. First time we delivered it, no problem at all. Mike, we could see the speaker's notes, all the rest of it. Then a couple of months later, we were asked to do it again for a club, the Monday Club at church. So again, we went through it and we did the rehearsals and we changed a couple of bits, you know, that we felt we needed to put more emphasis on or whatever. And we delivered it again. So we get to the parish centre. Wasn't the first crisis. The projector wasn't working.
Projector wasn't working, yeah.
So we had to move from one side of the room to the other.
From the cable.
Some imbecile had unplugged the cable from the ceiling
from the actual projector.
So luckily we had a projector. But that meant half hour time was set in setting up was we got to get the projector working. So we got all of the technical side sorted. Right? All of the technical side sorted. Then half the people in the club, because it's the Monday club and they're over 50, most of them are over 70 and as deaf as a post. But the worst thing was, because the projector hadn't been working and we'd had to use another one and move across the other side of the room, the speaker's notes on our laptop were far too far away from us. They're about 8 foot away. We could see the slides, but we could not see the presenter's notes at all. So take it from Steve Jobs there, the bigger the print, the better. We managed it, but only because the pair of us knew the presentation inside out. Obviously, there was an element of Mike should say certain bits and I should say certain other bits. But we did have each other's backs because we'd been to the local theatre that we go to, the Bolton Octagon. We'd been to special mornings that they have. What were they called? Investigate days.
Right.
And we met the cast of various things and we talked about how they remembered stuff and what did they do if somebody corpsed. And on one particular night, somebody corpsed. And I said to Mike in the break, well, that went wrong, didn't it? And he went, did it? I said, oh, yeah. And I pointed out who should have said what. And basically what happens is they help each other. They know the work inside out to the point that if somebody does, corpse means forget your lines. If somebody corpses, they will, the other actors will try and get them back on track, but they will actually say the essence of the bit that was missed. So if there's something critical, like, you know, an Aunt Maud died, and they forget to say that, then the rest of the play makes no sense. So somebody else will say it. So that's how we approach this. You know, Mike was like, I can't see that. I said, no, neither can I. I said, but look, we've rehearsed and rehearsed. We know this. I said, if you forget something, I will interject. If I forget something, you interject. And we made it through. But in hindsight, notes that size. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you need. Exactly. Right. Let's have a look. Ooh, spicy hummus. Not too spicy, but I do love hummus. It's one of my favourites.
We've got some hummus.
Good. I'm glad. We've had the Tesco delivery then.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done all the housey chores.
I'm loving that, Simon. But she sighs every time she comes across voice recognition. Oh, good point. Do you know, I think Jonathan's lulling me into a false sense of security here. I reckon he will be wide awake at the end of it. You won't be able to get to sleep. You're not a fan of his plastic binders. I just think having notes that are that big is a benefit in a live demo. What I would say is that clearly says to me, like I've said, he was brilliant and he could ad lib if need be by telling a story or something. That's a safety net. But looking at those notes, I would say he isn't somebody who presents all the time. Because if, like me, you do, I've got no notes on the desk. When I log in at 7 and say hello, I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. I am led by you guys. But I think for somebody who's not a presenter who presents every day, that's probably a good idea. Interesting to see anyway, because his own software can't do that. So I'd have to question his own software. Oh, right. Simon does make a good point here. The first time he shouted first in, Mark Bikes called me a big kid and now look what's happened. You tempted him. You tempted him, Simon. That's what it was. The news in Facebook and Australia thing has been all over the BBC and I'm not at all sure the BBC know what's going on either. I remember when Simon got in first and he was on his own. He was in there for about 45 minutes talking to himself. That was classic. Oh, Kim, you're glad I defined what corpse was. You thought someone in the audience had died. No, it's when the actor just dries up, totally dries up. It happened twice when we were there. The first one was a play, All My Sons, Arthur Miller. And it's a wonderful play. And I love Arthur Miller. I mean, I love Arthur Miller and I love Henry Gibson. But Arthur Miller, love it. So I knew this play inside out. Plus the fact I'd attended the dress rehearsals. I'd seen this play at least 9 times in its run. And this one was actually the closing night. And I'd spoken to everyone in the cast, apart from one guy. And he had his plate full. His girlfriend had just announced she was pregnant and she was a bit on the needy side and he was miles from home and intended to be there for 4 months. So he wasn't much of the talking kind. He didn't come in the bar. He just disappeared home. Anyway, this particular night, the actor that I was interested in seeing in this thing, he was supposed to be the star of the show. The other two that were in it was this young guy who had the pregnant girlfriend. Do you know what's scary, Mike? That kid will be 12 this year.
Yeah.
And the other one was Vanessa Kirby from The Crown. They were fabulous. They were absolutely fabulous. There was a new actor that we hadn't met before who was doing the next play. But this particular night, my favourite actor started off and I thought, where's he going with this? I thought, that's not in the script. And he totally lost himself. He just completely lost himself. The actor that was with him, there was only two on the stage at the time, knew that he had lost himself. He held it together in terms of he didn't sort of stand there and go like, I've forgotten my words. But you could see her mind racing to think, what is the essence of this scene? Where do the audience need to be at the end of this scene? They need to know that Aunt Maud's dead and he's forgotten to tell them. So she like veered off the script as well. And she said, anyway, you know, while you were doing that, did you check up on Aunt Maud? And that got him back on track. And he Aunt Maud's dead. I mean, this wasn't the script. It was far more nuanced than that. But you get the idea. And it was the way that the director worked. And I'd been in on these workshops where I'd sat there and watched the actors do this. So actually, I thought it was interesting to watch him go completely off-piste. He totally lost himself, to see how she got him back. But the other one what was that called? It was Carol Churchill, wasn't it?
A View Corpse.
Hmm?
A View Corpse.
I'm just trying to think what it was called. Don't tell her that.
It's a Palestinian play.
Palestinian Israeli thing. Yeah. It was really moving, and it was only about 15 minutes long. And the actors just stood on stage in like formation. There wasn't much movement involved in it. And it was done in a kind of verse way where they said a paragraph and then someone would say, don't tell her that. And then the next one would do a paragraph and it'd be, don't tell him that. And it was about the Palestinians and the Israelis and the fact that they couldn't live happily ever after. So there was a paragraph going one way and then a paragraph going the other. And then at the end of it, somebody had to say, don't tell them that. Seven Jewish children. There you go. That's what it's called. Beautiful, moving piece.
Carol Churchill, yeah.
And again, I knew who'd done it. Again, it was fine for like, they did this play like in the break or after the play. And you could stay and watch this extra little bit. And this one particular night, after like nine times it had been fine, somebody just lost it. And because each paragraph was said by a different person, the person who should have been speaking wasn't. And there was this gap. And straight away, somebody else came in and said their paragraph for them. And then they picked it up again. And afterwards, we said, like, you missed that. Like, yeah, I did. I totally lost it. But it was very, very well picked up. And I think that's important when you're presenting, particularly if it's a two-hander or more than that. But yeah, that's what it means. And they do try desperately not to, Kim. But they did say they worried less about the words and more about the meaning. And if you immerse yourself as an actor in like the period of the piece, All My Sons is set in 1946-47, just after the end of the war. Then you don't come out with like, oh yeah, it was dope. You know, you don't come out with the wrong language because you've immersed yourself in the period. And therefore, even if you're not sticking to the script because you have totally forgotten the words, you'll stick in character. And that was what the director did really, really well. I mean, the plays were fantastic. I love the plays. I was so excited when they put The Price on because that was my favourite Arthur Miller play. And it was better than I could ever have imagined. It was stunning, that play. But even better than that was following up with the actors before and after the play. And you actually did a piece with one of them, didn't you? You decided you would do a reading with them.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
I wasn't as good as him.
Oh, I thought you were better. I thought you knew the words.
But then he can't write macros like I can.
No, no. Oh, that nearly happened, Kim, that somebody dying. Do you remember the great night we had at Les Mis? Les Mis. Yeah. Never again. Once was enough. There was a guy who turned up. We were just sat there. We were in the circle because Kaz works at a theatre school and she can organise like a huge number of tickets in one batch. But this is like 18 months before the production. So you was like, oh, do you fancy seeing it? Oh, yeah. When is it? And you're like, oh, hopefully I'm not doing anything that night because it's 18 months away. Anyway, she booked. That was the second one we'd seen. The first one was Miss Saigon, which was stunning. I mean, storyline, let's just say I was handing the Kleenex to Nina. I wasn't actually that affected myself. But Nina, well, she'd always cry at this and she'd run out of tissues. Good job, I had some. No, the Les Mis one was... the fact that it was a night from hell. We'd got there early. We'd got our food. Places riddled with Italian restaurants and no Chinese. But I did find a Chinese, so we went to the Chinese. By the time we got to the theatre, in light of the Manchester bomb, everybody's bags had to be checked. And this theatre, not built for it, I can assure you, not built for it. There's like one entrance. The queue was half a mile up the road. The wind was howling. The rain was lashing. What a night. We were like drowned rats when we got in. Then we needed to sort out the car park ticket, which I did. But as I'm looking at the timings on it, I'm thinking, you know, are we going to kick off on time? Because half the audience are outside. We get inside, and because of the fact they'd been checking your bags on the way in and out, there was a queue for the toilet then. I thought, never mind, go later. And then as I think it was 7:30, it was supposed to kick off. As 7:30 came round, nothing happened. And we're all just looking at each other. And obviously we were with a huge party. I think Kaz had organised something like 80 tickets, and we had like three rows, and we're all just looking at each other. Rachel was with us. So I can't remember who got up first to look over and think what's going on. But in essence, what had happened was somebody had deemed it wise to rock up at this production in like an invalid car thing, one of these like electrical, not exactly electrical wheelchair. It was bigger than that. And you could get out of it and sit in a chair. But he'd come in one of those with oxygen, and he'd had a funny turn. The paramedics had come in, and they were working on him on the floor for 45 minutes. And I'm like, we're not going to get out of the car park. Did I mention we're not going to get out of the car park? It was a night from hell. It really was. And what made it worse was, you know, by the time we got going, it was at least 50 minutes late. And the thing was, there's a lot of children in the cast. Hence, Kaz would be the one teaching them. And they needed to get through the play before cut-off, bedtime cut-off. They can't work after a certain time. They were playing the songs faster than they were intended. And when it came to the break, we got about 3 minutes. So I got to the toilet, saw the queue, and the woman's like, if you don't get back to your seat, you're not going to be let in. I thought, this has been the worst night of entertainment I have ever experienced. And at the end, when they took the curtain call, it was like, right, bye, because they've got to get these kids back home. Oh, what a night. I much prefer the smaller ones. Anthony wanted to do a radio interview for work, and they had lots of big notes all over your desk. The interviewer asked me something, I could quickly see a set of important points. See, that's the way to do it, Anthony. That is the way to do it. We're going to get some elucidation here. Australia want Facebook and Google to pay news sites for any links to those sites' articles. Every link clicked is supposed to incur a charge. And they've started blocking links to the news sites. I'm liking that, Kim. I should get 2 points if Johnny goes to sleep before it starts.
The umpire hath spoken.
Jonathan will make the beginning. He'll be fine. He will. He'll be fine. Now, Alex, it's funny you mention that. I think Jonathan should have a dead man's handle if he drops off a siren goes off. Jonathan does actually own a siren. If you remember when we were doing the clap for carers thing, well, Jonathan's in a block of flats. So he's opened the window and he's using this siren like a bullhorn. And there's video of this happening as well. So he definitely has that. If he could just, you know, rig that up, it'd be amazing. Best line I've seen is that Australia is the first country where Facebook has banned both business information and information. Good point. Do you know, I'm actually thinking I'm much happier not looking at the news. I kind of give it a quick overview. But I'll give you an example of where it's like, really? We're still talking about this? Right. Yesterday or the day before, it's been quite a week, hasn't it, for Harry and Meghan. They announced that she's expecting again. Fine, great, great news. Then they announced they're doing an interview with Oprah Winfrey. Fine, whatever, they can do what they like. And then today, Buckingham Palace announced that they are permanently retiring from, you know, Queen duty. I'm like, well, duh. They'd already announced the interview with Oprah. So once they'd done that, there was no going back then, was there? Fine, so you announce it. Great, Buckingham Palace have said this and whatever, and they've said that and everybody's happy. The news have been banging on about it for 9 hours now. Just the same old, same old. It's still like the trending story. I'm like, I really don't see that that's actually news. Because we all knew that. They bought a house. You know, so they're not coming back anytime soon. They have rented out the house they have here. And the couple that are in that have just had a baby, so they're not going to want to move anywhere. This was a foregone. And yet the BBC, oh, this will be good. Because I think it could be. The BBC have their own royal correspondents. And, you know, they need something to do, basically. So they sit there yakking away endlessly about nothing. So we can do without them. The newspapers only allow a few clicks to their site for each month. Yeah, see, I had no idea all this was going on. Hello, Tracy. Ooh, first stage of the two raised beds. Yeah, I'm thinking green concrete. Green concrete is where I want to go. Said to Mike, you know, I don't like January and February. I don't. January is a nightmare of end of year stuff as far as I'm concerned. February, not much better. Much happier in March. I was looking at it. I was thinking, maybe not. Because if it's warm, people are going to want to go out, aren't they? We're already being warned. The weather's going to be nice this weekend. Don't go out. And I'm thinking, yeah, but what happens when it's warm? The grass grows. Then it needs cutting. Don't like that. We need a gardener, Mike.
We do.
Yeah. Do you think they could make it look really good?
I'm sure they could.
You reckon?
Throw enough money at it.
That's the trouble. It's just like, how much would you pay to have a fabulous garden? Nothing. Not interested. I don't care. Except when it gets to the point where the grass is waist high and then you need to deal with it. The bushes are looking reasonable, though, because they were done not that long ago. But as soon as they start growing, then I've got to go out and I've got to sort it out as well.
Yeah, because I'm not allowed.
You are not allowed, no. Then we have to take the madam out, don't we?
Yeah.
And she would love to run around and whatever, but I can't have her running around when I'm wielding the 4-foot hedge trimmer. So we then take out the spiral, which is like a piece of metal that's spiral with a triangle on the top. And you screw it into the ground and then you attach the dog to it. Maya had to have three of them. On account of the fact that if you'd have put that in concrete, he'd have ripped it out. Lola's quite much more obliging in that. She'll sit and watch the world go by. Maya was never trusted to sit and watch the world go by. No. If there was something doing, he was there. He was a real boy. You know, now we've had a boy and a girl. There is a huge difference, isn't there? She is so laid back. She is horizontal.
She's a bit like a boy when we play.
Oh, she's rough and tumble when she plays.
I sometimes forget she's a girl.
The one thing she doesn't do that Maya did, and I know other Sammy girls do this, she doesn't dig.
No.
You know, you show her the sandpit and it's like, yeah, whatever.
She doesn't even dig in the bunkers on the park.
No. No, it's really weird. Maya
couldn't keep out of those bunkers.
and this is a proper golf course, and he's there digging well, Australia in the bunkers.
It's pitch and putt. It's not like Glen Eagles.
Oh, it's not Glen Eagles, no, but there are some who take it just as serious.
Oh, yeah. Chidge.
And then there's Maya. I'll just dig myself a hole and settle in for the duration. Oh, he was a menace. He really was a menace. The tricks he got up to. But that other one, the dog I'm thinking of, was the dog in Blackpool. We went to visit this breeder and she only had girls and mum wouldn't have a girl dog in the house. So it had to be a boy. That her dogs were cute. Oh, they were cute. But there was one there called Spice. Oh, she was spicy. This lady had two huge pens built. She had six fully grown Samoyeds. And I think she'd got two brothers and another one. And then I think the others were girls. But two of them would scrap. So they had to be separated into like one pen and another pen. And then the others could be like put in wherever they were happiest. But these two had to be separated. So she had these huge pens. This was on top of an almightily massive garden. So they had lots of room to play and stuff. But so they could run around. She had a gate built next to the kitchen door, but she had a raised bed like Tracy was talking about. And this raised bed was brick. So it wasn't like a tub that had been put there. It was actually bricked in to be a raised bed. And this fence went up to it and then buried in the bed. And I think they'd actually like, it wasn't a huge tree, but it was big enough. You know, it must have been 15 foot. There was a bed, a tree embedded in this bed. So you couldn't get out if the gate was shut. The next she sees, this spice is out. And she looks and she's like, which idiot's left the gate open? And she's running up the street after the dog. Sammy's generally tone deaf. You know, come back, come here, heel, yeah, tone deaf. So she's running up the road chasing after this dog. This dog had actually had pups, so it was literally like only 2 months postpartum. And she managed to catch it. She takes it back in. But she looks, the gate was closed. It was bolted. So she'd not got out that way. When she caught up with the dog and she could finally see her face, it was black as soot. She had actually dug her way underneath the tree in the bed. So she started off on the inside and then dug all the way down a big enough hole that she could get through it underneath the roots of the tree and then came out the other side. She had to fill it with concrete after that. That's Maya. That would have been Maya. Fun, fun, fun. Artificial grass all the way. Yeah, we went to a mate's. And he said this is the number one thing I'd recommend for anybody to do. He said it was worth every penny. And I'm looking at it thinking, oh, it looks like a bowling green and it doesn't need mowing. We do have some artificial grass at the back. We had that put in because the beds tended to get muddy. So we decided, never mind, let's get rid of them. And we took like this fake turf up to the fence. And the first time we took Maya out, he wandered out and he stood next to it looking at it. And he looked back over his shoulder and honestly, you could read his mind. You two Muppets, someone sold you a dummy here. This isn't real grass. You could see it on his face. It took him weeks to go near it. And in the end, he was just sort of, OK, I'll humour you. But it's not real grass, you know. And every time he went anywhere near it, he would look over his shoulder and sort of, I live with two Muppets. It has lasted well, though. I will say that it's lasted well. I'm quite happy with flags in the back garden. It's the weeds that tend to grow between them that annoy me. So I think we're going to have to kasha those to within an inch of their life this year, aren't we?
Mm.
And then fill it in with concrete. This is because people keep planting plants. What is the obsession with planting plants? You know, if you want to plant a plant in your own garden, I've got no problem. But this particular person put a tree in their own garden, which is like 4 houses away. And the seeds must just fly on the wind. And everywhere else, everybody else's house has now got like weeds growing out of every orifice. And it's this tree because it's really, really, I wish I knew what tree it was. There must be something where you can point a camera at a tree and it says, oh, yeah, that's a yew tree. But whatever this thing is, it's very spindly and it grows like crazy. It would literally grow just thrown onto the concrete. So everybody's got this stuff in the garden now. But whereas in their garden, it's a feature. In everybody else's, it's a weed because we don't want it. I don't want to grow a tree like in a groove between the garage and the grid. And yet the seeds seem to fall there and grow. So you spend half your life pulling them out. Can't be doing with it. We need a gardener. We definitely need a gardener. So what's everybody else been up to today? Obviously, I've been getting ready for tonight. Plant snap or plant net apps. Right, I will, Tracy. That will be in the chat. I will try those because I need to know what this thing is. I need to know what will kill it. Not in their garden, in mine. I need a game rid of for mine. I figured there'd be something, but I've never needed it because, you know, to me, if it's green, it's gone. I don't sit and look at it and think, I wonder if that's a flower or a weed. I just think it's green and it's growing, so it's gone. I can tell a daffodil, you'll be pleased to know. And we do have a few, I think Dad put some bulbs, didn't he? Down the bottom of the garden near where Pat is.
Mm.
If you're wondering who or what Pat is, Pat's the pigeon. That we went to church one night and this pigeon was not looking too healthy. And the poor thing fell out of the tree. So I went over and had a look and it was... getting quite excited with itself on the floor, and it looked like it couldn't fly, like there was something wrong with it. So I picked it up and calmed it down and cradled it, but it looked like it had had some kind of fit and it died. So somebody said at Mass, there's a bin over there, throw it in the bin. And I thought, this is one of God's creatures, I can't do that. It's just died in my arms. I can't do that. And then somebody else said, I don't know, because that's not the recycling bin. You know us and our bins. We have six different types of bins. Which bin does a dead pigeon go in? And I can honestly say on the council's website, it doesn't say, which is a gross oversight. So I said to Mike, never mind that. I said, you know, I've got it. We'll just take it home and bury it in the garden. So Pat the pigeon lives at the bottom of the garden, all buried, next to some tulips that my dad put in. Not tulips, daffodils. Renee's finally mastering the master pages. Ooh, good. I had a whole session planned on mastering master pages. Not exactly on the calendar yet, but hopefully within this week, it'll be on the calendar. Together with the export persona I've been threatening for about 6 months. A friend of Simon's found a load of daffodils loosely strewn around the garden yesterday and concluded, Morrissey must have been there. Was that daffs? Why did I think that was those things my mum liked? I thought it was glads he had. Do you know, you remember the long, tall things?
Yeah.
Was it glads or daffs? I have no idea now. This would be because, Simon, and I know you're a musician, so you're going to either...
like the Smiths.
You're either going to love Morrissey and the Smiths or loathe them. I'm in the loathe category. So I call that music to slit your wrists to. Girlfriend in a coma. Yeah, and all the other things. Heaven knows I'm miserable now, which I am whenever the Smiths come on. So nobody must ever pick a Smith's track for by request. I can't go with it. I can't. Oh, another one. Picture this. Now, I would have thought that was an image editing app. So Tony's been listening to me all day. Oh, you need a break. Pause to catch up here. Go back after the GTD system built. Tracy can't wait for the Master Pages Masterclass. Excellent. I knew it, Simon. I knew you would like them. I knew that. I think probably because they come from Manchester, we kind of had like an overexposure to them locally and all his ramblings that I could well have done without. Right. You download it there, Kim. I'll get Mike to download it here. And when he's out with Lola, you can point it at this tree and we'll see what this offending tree is. Did they actually cut that down? The new people.
No idea.
What's she doing?
Sleeping.
Oh, she was asleep. She didn't want to go to bed this morning, did she? I'm mooching now, did I?
Where are you going now?
No, last night at bedtime, which was quite late for you, wasn't it? Mike said, so come on, let's go to bed. And she's like, no, I'm quite comfy here. There is a reason why she's quite comfy here, which will be revealed in after hours. But she wouldn't budge. So she went to bed with me, didn't you? About 3:15. But you wouldn't even come out and go in the bedroom while I was doing my teeth. I had to leave you in the office, then come back for you. And then when you were absolutely certain that I was leaving my desk, you decided to come too. Yeah, and now she's lying down. It's all very, very, very difficult for her. Isn't life tough, Lola? Been waited on hand and foot. Right, well, it's Two Show Friday. So I'm going to head off and make sure I've got all my ducks in a row. Wouldn't want an incident where I can't see the notes or anything, would we?
And I'm going to put the shopping away.
Oh, yes. We have had the shopping delivery. And was everything there?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you mean there's no worldwide shortage of lettuce or leeks?
Oh, there's no leeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they were out of leeks before you even ordered, yeah. Weren't they? Yeah, that was right.
They've been put on Asda order. Whether they turn up or not, I don't know.
There are no words. There are no words. But we will be with you shortly. Another time, another place. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from us here. So it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.